A woman who had trawled farther north than Henry Ingvaldson was always going to be grounds for consternation. Back in the kitchen, whistling to herself for the company of it, she pulled out her next-to-largest mixing bowl. This was on the early side to be making the vegetable dip, but she had learned that no one at a catered shindig could tell that the dip had been sitting in the refrigerator most of the day. Whereas, if the carrot sticks tasted more than a minute old, there would be Handel choruses of whining. So, stir now, chop later. Always a sound policy. She spooned globs of yogurt and mayonnaise into the big bowl, followed those with judicious sloshes of buttermilk, and began to whisk the mixture, her square, rugged hands liking to be doing something. Every so often she caught one of her customers staring at these hands, attention snagged on the glaring white swaths of scar across the base of both palms. In the territory of suicide try, yet not quite on target across the wrists, which caused the uncertainty in those stares. Barbed wire was responsible. She never bothered to tell the customers. She had put all her weight on the lever of the wire stretcher. One last notch, her father rummaging in the Dodge power wagon they used for fixing fence, when he thought to call out, "Hey, Petunia, I think that's about enough." But the barbed wire already snapping with a murderous twang, and sharp metal whipping across the bottoms of her clenched hands. The next thing she knew was the white face of her father as he tore apart a grease gun and globbed grease onto her slashes to stop the flowing blood. She was 13 then and, scarred for life, was mad only that she would have to forfeit the entry money for her and her roan, Jasper, in the barrel race at the Grovant Rodeo the next week. Up from those hard-used hands, Alexandra Marie McCaskill, married name Lexa Mudd, she knew that last name was not Travis's fault, but it hadn't helped, was what her parents' generation liked to term presentable, and she herself had always calculated out as no more than a C+. To start with the plus side, there was the family flag of the McCaskills, that hair, an enviable royal rich red mane on her sister, and a shading toward burnished copper in Lexa's page boy cut. Another McCaskill attribute, though, Lexa could have done with less of. The expansive upper lip, which must have come from generation after generation of ancestors' pursed expressions at their circumstances back in Stony Scotland. The handsome gray eyes of that musing clan had not come down to her, only a faded sea color. Face a bit too square and unplaned. Nose a bit saucy. It all added up to what she ruefully knew was a permanent kid-sister look, which had not been made any easier by growing up alongside someone who possessed the power to cloud men's minds. The pair of sisters weren't even in the same contest on figure, Mariah lanky and shouldery as the McCaskill men had been, while she was more sturdily consigned to their mother's side of the family, chesty and puckish. So far, Lexa had managed to stay a few judicious pounds away from stocky, even though, to Mitch's constant wonderment, she ate whatever presented itself, including now a contemplative tablespoonful of vegetable dip at 8 a.m. as she tried to figure out why it tasted so blah. "Right, whiz-bang chef. Remember the trip into the backyard?" She cut the frilly shamrock leaves of the burnet off the stems, minced the tiny pile with the butcher knife, then stirred their green flecks mightily into the bowl of dip, the better to have the catered to ask, "Ooh, what gives it that cucumbery taste?" With the dip stowed on the bottom shelf of the crammed refrigerator, she consulted its door again, the thicket of cartoons, snapshots, and other clutter there that served as the almanac, calendar, account book, album, and footnotes of life in this household. Here was a young, young Mitch pictured as a college sophomore, grinning rather queasily amid the fallen cornices at the University of Washington after the 65 quake. And there, his favorite shot of her, on a rocky shore. Copper hair against the salal, rubber boots and a yellow rain suit, her arms full of beach find. Peeking around her hip was the square of duct tape that reinforced the seat of the rain pants. Next, tucked alongside a forest of grocery coupons, the latest postcard from Mariah on her Fuji fellowship to wander the world for a year and do her photography. The Bay of Naples this time. Shooting the ash out.